Here we go.
Well, I'm riding along, singing the same.
What do you say, y'all? Let's do a radio show this morning.
That's been sung 100 times before.
Out under that big western sky.
Ain't got nothing but my name.
And y'all get some rain?
Nope.
Do?
Not personally. When I left the office, I had a meeting about halfway home. And sitting in that meeting, I could see out the window the dark clouds moving in and the storm. And I called Amanda when I left, and she said, we're getting pounded here. Oh, great. Can't wait. I get home, and the cloud's gone.
Missed it.
And I get a message from who I met with later that it was getting pounded over there. I mean,
You missed it both ways, coming
and
going.
Both ways.
We got a lot of dust.
I got home. There's not often water pooled anywhere. That's when I know it's a good rain. When the water's pooled and all the way underneath the vehicles are wet.
Yeah.
That's a good rain.
And both of those happened when I got home. I was like, all right. I got the smell, though.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Good morning.
Soap.
It's the best.
Yeah, you're tuned in to Rosie on the House. I'm Rosie. I've got my wife, sweet Jennifer, here with us in studio, my son, Romy, and we're going to bring to you a great 4 hours. We have got the next 4 hours a little bit overstuffed, I think. We've got it packed this morning. At 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking about, have you ever really thought about how confusing light bulbs are?
It's supposed to be so simple.
It's not. No. It's halogens. It's incandescents. It's LEDs. It's Kelvins. It's watts. It's lumens.
If you want a head start on the conversation, go to our website, rosieonthehouse.com. Go to the blog. We have a nice article there that gives you the basics.
Kind of line it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a subscriber to our regular email newsletter, which will hit your email box every single Thursday, you would already know that. Romy, you're giving away Diamondback tickets today to somebody that received
ooh,
that, right?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're a regular subscriber to our newsletter, there's a clue in there that if you pay attention sometime during the show, we'll ask a question. If you know the answer, then you could be put in a pool to draw your name for winning a couple great Diamondback tickets.
It's a trivia question about the D-backs this time.
9 o'clock hour, we're going to have the Registrar of Contractors in, talking about an update from his perspective on things, and probably one of, okay, so little old Rosie's been here doing being a contractor to the best of his ability since about 1970. Folks, I'm telling you, never since 1970 have things been busier. Never have we had the labor shortage that we have now. It's unbelievable. So the registrar is going to come in and give us a little perspective from his view. 8 o'clock, Romy's, of course, got John J. Harper coming in. Y'all got, and Jennifer, I think you wanted to hog the whole hour, right?
I had such a great time at the Women's Conference for the Arizona Farm Bureau yesterday, yeah. But I'll trickle it out. I'll just kind of give you some overview and talk about some things maybe that are coming up in the show.
Fantastic. And here at the 7 o'clock hour, we've got a couple special guests. We want to promote the Payson Book Festival that will be occurring next weekend. It celebrates Arizona authors. We had Roger Naylor in last week, Boots and Burgers. How can you not love that book, right? There are great trails and hikes all across Arizona, and he tells you where the best hamburger is to the trailhead. You just can't, that's a great book.
Hike so you can eat.
And we've got Stella Pope Duarte in a little bit later talking about some books she has written as well as her passion for teaching the younger generation the art of creative writing and reading.
Amazingly talented lady.
Now, many of you know I have a great love for the Grand Canyon. We have arranged now in studio to have a special guest, John Albert, Executive Director of Canyon Ministries. I don't know. I don't even know how to start this conversation, John.
Let's start with our trip.
Tell us that, you know, years ago, which we think was about 15 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, we took a float trip down the Grand Canyon with, I believe, the founder of
Correct.
Canyon Ministries, Mr. Tom Vail, mm-hmm. who then had, he had just, that's how we could find out, Another View book had just been published.
Okay.
So that's when we were on the river. That had just come out. But it's a different perspective on the age of the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the mission of Canyon Ministries.
Oh, wow. It's exciting. What an amazing place to do work, first of all, is to be able to be at Grand Canyon all the time and meet amazing people from all over the world. And that's really our ambition. It's about the people. You know, Grand Canyon is an amazing place. It's a special place. It's so much more than just a canyon. And so our mission is really to give people the opportunity to be able to see that canyon through a biblical perspective and recognize, understand that you can take a biblical worldview and observe all that body of data. And it's just very, very encouraging to their faith, encouraging even just to who they are as individuals. And we want to try to open that door for them.
And the basic premise is, hey, stop and think. Y'all don't believe the Grand Canyon is 70 million years old.
No, not at all.
And what evidence can you bring people to? I can remember the eye-popping things,
right?
Tom told us on that trip. You know, I mean, I grew up my whole life thinking it was 70 million years old. And then he would just drop little pearls every day as you saw some aspect of the canyon. And boy, you get off the river at the end of the third day down there at Whitmore Canyon or down there.
Right.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, the body of data is amazing. You know, it really is. And when you really start taking a look at, first of all, like the layers of sediment, these flat-lying strata that are sitting there in Grand Canyon, and you really begin to take a look at them first, if you start to take a look inside of those layers, you see that these layers are not just in Grand Canyon. The Tapete Sandstone is that bottom layer that's sitting right on top of that crystalline basement rock. And man, that layer of sandstone extends all the way across the United States up into Canada. It's the same sandstone that makes up North Africa, southern Israel. So you got a layer of sediment, you know, that's in multiple continents. The Red Wall Limestone, 600 to 800 feet thick throughout Grand Canyon. It's the same limestone found in England. It's the same limestone that's found that makes up part of the Himalayas. You know, it's, again, so we got layers of sediment that are covering multiple continents. And inside those, you've got just these exquisite fossils. You know, they're loaded with billions and billions and billions of dead things, you know, and this presence of fossils, and these fossils, the condition that we find them in, it's they're not pristine as if they just sat there and allowed things to settle around them. There's evidence of something violent taking place. There's ecosystems that have been torn from one place and buried in another. And just a quick example, in the Tapete Sandstone, you know, we find the trackways of a trilobite, which was an ocean floor crawling crustacean. So the trackways are there in the Tapete Sandstone. Well, if the trackway is there, the critter had to have been there. Otherwise, where the tracks come from? And first of all, to get a track to be fossilized, I mean, that's got to be buried pretty rapidly. But then the critter itself doesn't show up until a couple of layers higher. And according to the conventional dating methods, that's millions of years later. So you're telling me there's millions of years between the track and the animal? You know, so there's things like that. Then you start looking between the layers, right?
This
it makes me think of that joke. What's the last thought through a? What's the last thing goes through a bug's brain when it hits your windshield? His butt.
His butt. Exactly. Exactly.
That happened pretty quick. The footprint down here and the body way up here.
It's got to be. It's indicating something rapid.
Well, this is one of the key points that really hit me, that Tom says, you know, we can horizontal bore between these layers,
mm-hmm.
that, according to some theories, were exposed to the environment for eons.
Correct.
And not find a molecule of biodegradable material.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so you start to look between those layers, and the conventional model would ask us to consider that each one of these individual layers of sediment sat exposed to the environment for millions of years before the next one came. But there's no indication of erosion. There's no channeling. There is no ecosystem there. I mean, you go to the rim of the canyon now, what's growing on top of the Kaibab limestone? You got this massive ponderosa pine forest and all this vegetation. And so to think that these other layers that supposedly sat exposed for long periods of time, there's no evidence of that, and there's no erosion. It's just this perfectly flat line between every single layer. It's fascinating.
It is, and the Grand Canyon is a fascinating place. I mean,
certainly.
We try and get a rim-to-rim-to-rim hike in every Memorial Day, and I go with people who like to run across it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not one of those. In my mind, you miss so much running across it. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been down the South Kaibab, I don't know how many times, but every time it's like the first time. It's just a magnificent place.
It truly is, and it's some place that you have to take the time to just stop and consider. You know, the Grand Canyon is a beautiful teacher. You know, it just there's a great story being told, and you know, these rocks have a lot to say. And if you go and just speed through it, man, you're missing out on a lot of great opportunity. And so to take the time to just stop for a little bit and really consider what's out there and is just a beautiful opportunity. We're trying to give as many people that opportunity as we possibly can.
We're here with John Albert from Canyon Ministries. They have all kinds of tours available up at the Grand Canyon if you're interested in seeing the Grand Canyon from a different view. You could certainly find them at canyonministries.com. Rim tours by bus across the top of the South mm-hmm. Rim. Y'all do you have an affiliated tour with the Grand Canyon Railroad out of Williams.
Correct.
Y'all do floats.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so yep. All different ways you can see the Grand Canyon. So if the Grand Canyon isn't 70 million years old, John, how old is it?
Yeah, so that's a big conversation, right? Thanks for lobbing that one out there. So it is, you know, and so the – when you start to take a look at the methods that are used by geology to find ages, one of the first things we have to wrestle with is the fact that age is not something that can be measured. There's a lot of things about rocks you can measure, the hardness, their luster, yeah, their grain size, all that kind of stuff. But age can't be measured, so it has to be interpreted, right? The only reason we know how old we are is because somebody witnessed it and signed a document.
Right.
If it wasn't for that, we'd have to guess.
Right.
And so in light of that, you start to look at, okay, is there any kind of document that would present an event in the past that would give us something that we could use as clues to understand what we're seeing today? And so you look at the genealogies of Scripture, and according to those genealogies, you put those together, and you can find yourself at right around roughly about a 6,000-year-old Earth.
Interesting.
And according to those genealogies, there's about 1,500 years between Adam and Noah, which would place that canyon around 4,500 years old.
Interesting. Well, that's a different perspective than what we've been taught our entire life. So if it's that young, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to find out how long did it take to actually create the canyon? How long did it take the river to carve that canyon? When we get back with John Albert of Canyon Ministries.